is not the kind that wiggle tea that you drink, not scribble, all together in a cottage she calls day.
Tales and Tea with Nanny Bee.
You've made it in the nick of time. The kettle has just boiled, and my neighbor Jules will be here with a story any minute now. Oh, someone's at the door. Hello? Who is it?
Hello, Nanny Bee. It's your neighbor Jules with a story.
Oh, indeed it is. Hello, Jules. Do come in, come in.
Hello, Nanny Bee. Oh, what an elaborate bonnet you have on. My goodness, what's in there? Is that a nest?
Oh, yes, I'm just trying it out for our Easter parade. It's a cottage tradition, and I don't want to let the squirrels down.
Oh, of course not. And with that hat, you certainly will. Oh, wait, is that egg real? It looks like it's hatching.
Oh, pay it no mind. The baby robin is rather shy when unhatching. Just carry on as if you never noticed.
Okay, I will not notice the egg hatching on your head. Well, I did bring you a special Easter tale. Would you like to hear a story?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, then. The Easter Basket, adapted for radio. In a land of valleys and deserts lived a family that covered the entire region, but they were actually strangers trying to make their way home. Now, it was a tradition in this land that every mistake, every bumble, every wrong choice, every stumble was yours for good. They literally had to carry them, and your wrongdoings took the shape of stones. Tell a little lie and you'd probably be given a pebble. Run over your neighbor's cat, you'd get a big rock. Run over your neighbor and you'd get a giant boulder. For the record, I don't recommend running over anyone, boulder or not. But that gives you the idea. And just imagine, even a lifetime of little lies adds up to a truckload of pebbles to hulk around with you. And this journey home did last a lifetime, which was longer for some than others. It had only just begun for Miriam. Miriam was a curious and kind child. She practiced her reading and memorized her verses, and she had only a handful of pebbles to carry around with her. That's probably why the neighborhood rat picked her out to pick on. It started one day when she was walking back from the market. She had an armful of apricots and figs and melons, all ripe and so fragrant in the hot sun. She could barely see the path in front of her, so Mr. Rat took this opportunity to scurry under her feet. Miriam stumbled forward. She wobbled back, and then she fell flat, blunk, onto the solid ground, where her armful of fruit crashed and split and smashed in the dirt. Miriam collected up the bits as best she could, but there was little left worth collecting. When she arrived home, her mother was so disappointed, but tried not to get angry, as it could happen to anyone. It was an accident, and she had done nothing to bring it on, so no stones were assigned this time. But Mr. Rat began to enjoy tormenting Miriam, and he started bragging to his friends. The very next week he saw Miriam again, this time on her way to market with dried fish to sell, her family business. They, too, were fragrant in the heat of the sun, but not in a good way. They were wrapped in parcels of leaves, one on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other, stacked right up to her chin. She had to get them to the market stall urgently, as they had just run out. Miriam was rushing, but not recklessly, when Mr. Rat saw his opportunity. And this time, a couple of his friends joined him. They scurried under Miriam's feet. Miriam stumbled forward. She wobbled back, and then she fell flat, blunk, onto the solid ground, where her packets of dried fish unraveled and got covered in soil. The market seller saw her throw them in the air as she tumbled to the ground.
Silly girl, he thought.
Then he recognized her and her parcels. His parcels.
Foolish girl,
he shouted as he walked over to the fish-freckled path. This time, her mother wasn't quite so understanding, but still, it was an accident, so she had no stones to carry, just a lot of guilt. Mr. Rat wasn't done with her, though. He was enjoying watching her fall again and again and again. He and his friends, seven in all now, started thinking of other ways they could drive her crazy. The rats thought it was hysterical, thought Miriam was hysterical. Miriam started to believe it was her fault, and so did others. By the time she was a young woman, she was carrying around a sack full of stones, while the rats were the real troublemakers. But nobody saw that. Until one day. One day, a man came to town. The Nazarene, they called him, who was unlike anyone they'd ever known. He didn't have a single stone, not even the tiniest pebble to carry. Well, the Nazarene was just being himself when he came across Miriam, just as those seven rats were messing with her again. In a commanding voice, he startled the gang of rats, telling them to leave Miriam forever. The rats were troublemakers. They were cocky and not scared of anything, except the Nazarene. With just a word, they ran, terrified, and never came back. Miriam, for the first time in a long time, could walk with her head high. She was so calm and finally felt like she was walking on solid ground. She thought that would be enough. That was the most amazing gift, but the Nazarene wasn't done. He then turned to her and said, "Let me carry your load," and held out a basket for her. He told her to put all her stones, not just the ones she had now, but every future stone, into his basket, and he would carry them for her. "But it wasn't you who made all these mistakes," Miriam protested. The Nazarene then took each stone, one by one, from Miriam. From that day forward, you couldn't separate Miriam from the Nazarene. She supported him and followed him everywhere. And whenever she'd do anything wrong, she'd apologize and turn to the Nazarene, who would carry yet another stone for her. But his basket always seemed so light. Who wouldn't love the Nazarene? Thought Miriam. Well, I'll tell you who. Everyone who liked things how they were. The teachers of the law were very good at making their own stones look small. They had positions of power in the community. People used to come to them for advice. And now they were turning to this Nazarene. So some of the teachers of the law gathered together in secret. They made a plan to get him in trouble, beyond stones, the kind of trouble that would get a man killed. Miriam knew nothing of this. Neither did the Nazarene's friends. Well, except for one. One friend, for nothing more than money, offered to betray the Nazarene. And he did. The authorities captured the Nazarene based on the fear and lies from some of the teachers of the law. He was tortured, but Miriam stayed near. He was hung up to die, but Miriam never left his side. He left this life, and Miriam cried. The man who came to carry all our wrongs, who never judged, just loved, he was gone. And Miriam couldn't stop crying. She cried all day, all night, all day, all night, all day, all night. She still wouldn't leave him. He was buried in a cave with a giant stone sealing him in. But Miriam would come and stand outside, trying to get as close to him as she could. On the third day, she arrived, and that giant stone was rolled away. Miriam ran into the cave and couldn't see the Nazarene anywhere. How could they take his body? Didn't they do enough already? And she cried. "Who are you looking for?" she heard a stranger say. But how could she describe who he is? He is the way to follow, the light to guide you. He is all that is love and more than you can ever ask or imagine. Then the stranger called her by name. Miriam. And at once she realized it was him, the Nazarene, not dead, but alive. He told her to go and tell their friends. They couldn't believe her until he came to them himself. The Nazarene is back. He's conquered death. He will be with us forever. But he surprised them all. Yes, he conquered the grave, but he was going home now. This was very confusing. Miriam and the others wanted him to stay, but he did promise to return someday. I will always carry your stones, and if I go, I can send in my place the most wonderful counselor. He can be with everyone in all the world all the time until we are together again. Even though Miriam didn't fully understand, she trusted the Nazarene because he didn't just speak the truth. He is the truth. The end.
Thank you, Jules.
Oh, Nanny B, are you crying?
Just tears of joy, my dear. Easter tears of joy.
Well, happy Easter to you and to all our listening friends.
Will we be seeing you next week?
Of course. Next week, I will return with more Tales and Tea.
Go to nannybee.com.
Go there to find out about all our episodes and how to get in touch if you have any questions or comments. We love to hear from you, and you could end up on the show.
Go on and leave a message for Nanny Bee, and you might be on the show.
This has been a Toad and Hole production for nannybee.com.